1 John chapter 4, begin at verse 1. The Bible reads this as such. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." In other words, he's going back to that story, and he's saying, listen, the forces of light, the kingdom of light is greater than the kingdom of darkness. Verse 5, he says, "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We," meaning the apostles, "we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of deception out into the world. And John says this. He says, listen, don't believe every spirit, but test to see whether or not they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, I honestly cannot tell you, even if you're a doctor, I can't tell you this. I can't tell you how many times between emails and social media posts, personal conversations, where people tell me, "Pastor, you need to watch this video. Pastor, you need to read this book. Pastor, you got to hear this preacher over here. He's saying some amazing things." And I watch them, I listen, and I discover that person's a false prophet. It's a false prophet. And you know, most of the time, it's not hard to figure out. Like you don't need a special spirit of discernment. Let me help us out if you're struggling, because sometimes, you know, you get that forward and you go, man, should I forward this to everybody? Should I post this out there? All right, I'm going to help you out. If you have the spirit of discernment, you don't need this help. But for the rest of us, Deuteronomy 18, 21 through 22. All right, beginning at verse 21, it says, And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word of the Lord has not spoken? So how do I know this isn't from God? How do I know this isn't true? And God says, okay, this is pretty simple here. Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, you know, where somebody says, thus saith the Lord, this is, God told me this is going to happen. Here's what's coming, and Jesus is coming back on May 20. What? As soon as they say that, you just know right there, okay? But when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. If the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you need not be afraid of him. So you hear what he's saying here? It's pretty simple. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I like what he says, because there are times where, like, I hear somebody say something, I go, man, man, he's talking about the people I don't like, and I want that to be true. Or he's talking about the people I do like. I go, man, I hope that's the outcome. When it doesn't happen, and it doesn't come to pass, you know, don't be afraid. Don't continue to listen. Stop buying their books. And the most important part of all this, don't forward that on to Pastor Don, because he needs to hear it. That's the key to all of this. No. Seriously, when you look at that and somebody says, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't happen, you say, no. You know, maybe that guy was right the other 99 times, but that was not a prophecy from God. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you actually have the antidote for deception. You have the Holy Spirit, who's always going to speak in accordance to the Word of God. And John says, we are from God. He says, whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Now, let's make sure we define the us and the we, because sometimes we like to group all kinds of... When he says us and we, he's not talking about Pastor Don. He's not talking about Pastor Zeph, right? What he's talking about is John has apostolic authority. John is an apostle from God. And he's saying, hey, when we speak as apostles, John's like, I was there when he died, all right? I was there when he was resurrected. I was there with him through those 3 years of ministry. He says, so when we speak, and by the way, I'm a New Testament author. He says, when we speak, you know that that is the truth, because we're testifying what we saw, what we felt, and what we heard. And he says, and when you put that into practice, what you hear from us, what is confirmed by the Holy Spirit, that's assurance in your life that you are walking in truth. Now, in verse 7, at first glance, it seems like John's going to move back to his favorite subject. His favorite subject is love, by the way. He keeps harping on that. And at first glance, it looks like he's kind of changing direction, but I don't think he's changing direction here. I think what he's going to do is he's going to talk about love, and his purpose for talking about love here is that this love from Christ that goes through us gives us confidence in a broken world. Listen to what he says here in verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So love is a fruit of the Spirit, right? And it's evidence... It's evidence that we belong to God. And if somebody isn't speaking truth, okay, whatever they say doesn't come out to be true, or they do not exhibit love, what can we rest assured about? That's not from God. That's not from God. It's missing a couple key elements, right? Truth and love. And as Christians, we might want to ask a few questions before we speak, before we share. First question, is this true? Do I know this to be true? Because I represent Christ, and so what I speak needs to be true. Here's another one. Is it helpful? Sometimes it's true, but it's not helpful in that situation. Is it loving? This is great marriage advice, by the way, too. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it loving? Does it honor God? Love is evidence that we know God. Check that out. Am I loving people? Because that is evidence that you know God. If God is love and we know him, the most natural thing to do would be what? To love others. Verse 9, it says, in this, the love of God was manifest. It's been made known among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that, equal sign, that we might live through him. So we know what love looks like when we look at Christ, right? There's all kinds of songs out there. What is love? Well, look at Christ. That's the picture of love. And Christ isn't just a Savior that we admire, you know, where we just look at a distance and go, hey, good job, look what he did. But he is the source, he is the strength of our life. Christ is the one who loves people through us. And I think sometimes we ask the wrong question. Have you ever asked this question? Maybe it's just me. Can I actually love this person? Ever ask that? I don't know. I don't know if I can love that person. I think we ask the wrong questions. I think we should say, Christ in me can. Christ can love that person. And if Christ is in me, then Christ can love that person through me. And you know what we're talking about? We're talking about becoming mature in Christ, which is evidence which is evident in how we love one another. Paul says this, Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul, 4:15. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in him in every way into him who is the head and to Christ. Paul's saying, when we love one another, that's growing up. And love demonstrates my maturity in Christ. Think about love being a gauge. If you're trying to figure out, okay, so I've been a Christian for 20 years, for 10 years, for 5. Just think of love as a maturity gauge. If you're not very loving, you know what you are? You're immature. You're immature. That's what the gauge tells us. Now, years ago, automakers did away with a lot of gauges, right? And they put in there, now, some people might find this offensive. I'm not the one who came up with this. But mechanics call that little light. What do they call that? They call it an idiot light, right? Right, because they figured, hey, there's all these technical terms in there that you're going to have a hard time, you know, finding, you know, figuring out, like empty, full, low, high. And so rather than confusing you with all those technical terms, they put in an idiot light to know, hey, there's a serious problem here. Now, I don't want to use that term, but there's times when we're immature in Christ and there's a certain light that goes on. And you might not notice it, but your spouse notices when the light goes on. Okay, the people around you know when that light goes on. And what does that tell us? That tells us this is an area in my life that I need to mature. Maturity in Christ isn't based on you know, the Bible verses I remember. That's good stuff, okay? Knowing your Bible, reading your Bible. Maturity in Christ is measured by how we love one another. Okay, what is love? Glad you asked. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God has so loved us, by the way, that if God so loved us, that word so, literally in the Greek, it would read, beloved, if God loved us in this way, and it's the same with John 3:16, by the way, God has so loved us, but he's saying, beloved, if this is the way that God has loved us, then this. He says, beloved, if God has so loved us, we ought to love one another. And so this word propitiation for our sins, that means he is the satisfaction. That means he is the atonement. That means that Jesus defeated the powers of sin and death and darkness. And you know how he did that? He didn't do it with a sword. He didn't do it by being ugly. He did it by willingly laying down his life on our behalf. That is how Jesus defeated sin. That is how he defeated darkness. And he's saying, listen, church, this is how Jesus showed love to us. And love is a gift, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And although it's a gift, you know what it requires? A volitional choice. It requires us to respond. And John is saying, love as Christ has loved you. We're to love sacrificially. Let me make this personal. So this last week was Love Week, and I'm guessing some of you didn't know that, and you're just finding out right now. Okay, second chance. We're all about grace here. Our bonus points. So here's a challenge for this week. Actually, intentionally show love to people this week. Just go out. I mean, I know it's crazy. I know we're getting radical here, but actually go out and show people love. I mean, buy somebody a meal. You know, you go through the drive-through and say, "Hey, I'll buy the meal for the person behind me." you know, and, you know, checking your rearview mirror. Oh, man, that's a van load of kids. Whatever it is, you know, go ahead. You know, do that. Walk the neighbor's dog. Ask for permission first. Give a bigger tip at the restaurant. If you're struggling with something to do, I've got a whole list, like 25 things there on Facebook. Go to our page. And then if people ask you, why are you being kind? You say, well, okay, our church is participating in this Love Week thing. And this is how God showed love to me. God has showed love to me, and so I want to show love to others. All right, pretty simple stuff. So let's look at the results of receiving God's love and loving others. Verse 12. It says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in this. By this, he's pointing back, he's saying, by what I just told you, if you're abiding in him and his love, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Look what he's saying there. Because sometimes we say, you know, share your testimony, go out and tell them about Jesus. And what he's saying here is when we love one another, we're actually testifying. We're actually sharing our testimony that God loves us. Now, you may have to use words eventually, but he says we're testifying that the Father sent his Son when we love people. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. Jesus himself said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He says, apart from me, you cannot bear the fruit of love, right? He says, you can do nothing. And you know what? Sometimes we deny Jesus, not by saying I don't know him. I think sometimes we deny him by not loving people. We declare with our lifestyle that we don't know him. And if we want people to know Jesus, it's a really simple antidote. Just love those people. Love the people you want to reach, all right? There's your mission plan. Head out. Love demonstrates that we know God. Verse 16. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected within us. Would you like love perfected in you? By this, love is perfected within us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. I love that. As Jesus is, he's like, you know how Jesus is? He's like, okay, go do that into the world. That's how you're to live your life. You're to live it as Jesus. And when we're rooted and we're rooted in Jesus and we're experiencing his love, there's no fear. There's no fear in death. Love is being perfected in us, and we're confident before him. And if God is love, John says, be that way in the world. Love gives us confidence. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. And for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he hasn't seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I've noticed there's been a lot of talk in the last couple years, particularly about fear. And most of the time, when we talk about fear, it's not saying, hey, this is my fear, this is my struggle. Most of the time we talk about the fear of other people. Oh, those people are just afraid over there. These people are afraid over here. And so I want us to think personally as we're closing here. What is it that you fear? Is it the future? The government? disease, God, people? What is it for you? Not your next door neighbor who's all messed up, but what is it for you? What is the fear that you're struggling with? And John says there is no fear in love. We probably need some signs that say love over fear. Because love protects us from fear. Love protects us from fear. There's a song called Ain't No Grave. I don't write the English, I just tell you the songs. It's called Ain't No Grave. And there's a powerful line in this song, and it says this: "Oh, fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant. He's always telling me to run." The song continues. It says, "Oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon. I'm going to take my giants down." I got a question. Do you want to take your giants down? John tells us, walk in truth. Walk in love. And fear, here's what fear is always going to tell you. Fear is always going to tell you there is something to run from. Love will always tell you there's someone to run to. And I want us to walk. I want us to live in love, in a broken, in a dark, in a confused world. Walk in truth, walk in love. Let me close this in prayer, and I'll have the worship team come up. Lord God, we're so thankful. We don't have to figure all this out. You have spoken, and your word is true. And I pray today that we would walk in the truth of your word. And Jesus, you have loved us. You have showed us what love is. And beyond that, you have empowered us to love one another. You empowered us to be your hands and your feet into a world that is lost and hurting. And so, Lord, I pray today that if there's areas in our lives where we're not walking in truth, where we're not walking in love, we would turn from those. We would turn from the fear. We would turn from the darkness and turn from the turmoil, and we would turn to you. And Father, I pray for your church today. Pray for your people that we would go out from here walking in truth and love. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.